Amen. Good morning. And we will continue in worship, lifting up God's word. We are continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week, we saw Jesus feeding thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Now we're going to see him walking on water. Let's stand and read this together. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. But as many as touched it were made well. Let's pray. Father, how good it is to be together, lifting up our voices in praise. And Lord, we lift up your word and we ask that you would speak to us. These are indeed dark times, stormy times for the world, Lord. And in the midst of all this, Lord, we want to see you. We want to hear you. Lord, we don't need to know what you're doing, but we want to know that we're with you and that we hear your voice, that we could follow you. Lord, would you give us ears to hear? Put your word deep in our hearts, that we could continue to be transformed, that we could continue to follow you, Lord Jesus. And even that we might be used by you in the dark times, Lord, to bring your words of comfort to those who are down, hope to those who are in despair. Lord, give us your word. Revive us in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When we lived in China as a family, that was 2012 to 2016, we rode our bikes everywhere. I did not miss driving a car at all, but I still miss my bike. We lived in the city, so we could drive to the bus station or to the subway. Jeremiah's first bike was a little red one with flames on it. Started with training wheels, but soon he got off the training wheels and he would ride. We'd ride to school. One day, he got out of school and his bike had been stolen. He was very upset. I went and bought him a new bike, a big black one. And he was very angry with me. He said, "That's just too big. I am not going to ride that bike." He was stubborn about it. Okay. But then when he saw me and Matthew leaving, he said, okay, I'll try it. And he needed me next to him, sometimes holding his handlebar. But before long, he was going down the Hill of Doom as fast as he could. The Hill of Doom was a little bridge on our campus, went over some water. And then he was going down the much more ominous Jungle Hill of Doom as fast as he could. And before you know it, he wanted, that's his big black bike. Before you know it, he wanted a full-size mountain bike. Now, I tell you that because walking with Jesus, walking in faith, Frankly, it follows a similar pattern that we start off effectively with training wheels, coming to church and just doing what the Sunday school teacher says, what the preacher says, following along, singing the songs, praying the prayers. Then we lose our training wheels. We start to take more steps of faith. Some people will mature faster than others. But if our goal is to walk with Jesus, if that is my desire, Lord, I want to be with you, then he will always meet us where we are. He will lead us. If you want to follow Jesus, understand, he will lead us in taking greater and greater steps of faith. Till at some point, might even call you out to walk on the waters. Some people will mature faster than others. If our goal is to walk with Jesus, he will meet us where we are. So, I want to talk about how to walk on water, even in the midst of a storm. So we look at this passage, and the first thing is simply to expect storms. When we're following Jesus, walking by faith, we should expect storms to come. This is the second storm that the disciples have been in. God brings the storms, starting all the way at the beginning with Abraham, right? Took Abraham to the promised land. He brought a famine to the land. God brought the famine. Abraham goes down to Egypt. Later on, Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, was sold into slavery by his brothers and then thrown into prison, right? God had planned all that way ahead of time. God brought the storms into Joseph's life, and the purpose was to mold him, right? To prepare him for doing great work, to strengthen his faith, ultimately for the saving of many lives. God brings the storms. Later on, he brought a storm to the whole nation. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, for the purpose of destroying Jerusalem. That God planned it. He did it intentionally. Took several people into exile in Babylon. Said, I form light, this out of Isaiah, form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. He brings the storms. Again, though, it is for the purpose of making a way in the desert, pointing his people to salvation. What happens if we don't have storms? What happens if everything in our life is always easy? We take our eyes off of God and we put them on the mirror. Right? We look at ourselves. We become proud and selfish. We become self-indulgent. We start pushing God away more and more. We need the storms. Why as parents do we allow our children to be greatly disappointed? Why do we allow our children to suffer heartache and even to the point of telling us, he might tell us they hate us? Is it because we're control freaks? Is it because we want to keep them dependent on us? No. It's because we love them. We want them to mature, grow stronger. Same way with God. He brings the storms. Wow. We cry out to him. He brought, Adam and Eve in the garden. I'm going to bring thorns and thistles. I'm going to bring difficulty and trouble so that we look to heaven, look to him. If there's no storms, what? We get the Lord of the Flies. We get Hunger Games, get Squid Games, right? We turn more and more evil. What kind of storms has God brought to your life? I mean, we've all been through storms, right? It may not be a particular crisis. It might just be wave after wave of trials, right? kids throwing up at midnight, right? The dogs barking at 2 a.m. You hear your neighbor yelling at it. Got an exploding diaper at 4 a.m. You got issues in your marriage that have to be prioritized over everything else. You got bills to pay, budgets to balance. You got emails from the school that have to be dealt with. You got meals to prepare. You got all these responsibilities at work. Just talking about it, I'm starting to stress myself out. I mean, go take a walk after this. Just wave after wave. God's intention is not for us to live in perpetual anxiety. It's that we would be strong, steadfast, even in the midst of a storm, that we would not be shaken, that we would be strong, peace-loving warriors. And the peace comes not through the absence of storms. Peace comes keeping our eyes on Jesus. Oh. Ask you this, why does a potter make a vessel? Why does he sit there and mold it and push it and pound on it, spin it? Is it just to show off? Is it to make something to put in a museum? Why does he make a cup or a bowl or a plate? To use it, to fill it and pour it out, fill it and pour it out again. He wants you a strong clay vessel so he can fill you and pour you out. The Apostle Paul said, even if I'm being poured out completely, my life is emptied. May it be for his glory. Oh. So his purpose for us is that we would mature and be strong. Not that we would just have a great, happy life and then die. His purpose is to make us strong disciple makers. Strong, we could fight the good fight in a very dark, very hostile world so that we no longer be battered by the waves, but we would be mature in Christ. That's what he's doing with us. He's molding us. He's making us. Now, this storm the disciples are in, it's not the first storm, right? This is the second time they've been on Lake Galilee with a huge storm. And these guys, four of them, grew up as fishermen on Lake Galilee. And the first time they were in the storm, Jesus was with them. And they woke him up, said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And he woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, calmed everything, and then he turned and rebuked them. "Where is your faith?" And it says they were astonished. And they said, "What kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him." They were looking at Jesus, scratching their heads. "Who is this guy?" Now listen. Are you listening? Thank you. On the very first day that they met Jesus, at least four of them, Peter and Andrew, James and John, said all the most profound theological truths about him, said and believed it, believed he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, believed he was the Messiah, said he was the one Moses wrote about and the prophets wrote about. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." They said and believed these things. A little later, they're scratching their heads saying, "Who is this?" They had all their own ideas of what the Son of God should be like. Even John the Baptist had his own ideas, ill-informed ideas of what the Messiah should do and be like. And they would go through times of confusion. And they look at him, "Who is this?" So this is the second storm they've been in, right? And this time, Jesus is not with them. He comes walking on the water. And at the end of this storm, they're going to be worshiping him. They're going to see him more and more. So God's going to bring the storms in our lives to mold us, to shake us up, to draw our eyes, give us a clear idea of who he is, They've been in the water 9 hours now. These are professional fishermen. The third watch of the night, or the fourth watch of the night, the last few hours before dawn, he immediately sent them before he dismissed the crowds. They've been going for 9 hours and only made a, if you look at the other gospels, they've only gone 3 or 4 miles. This is a serious storm there. And he was away praying. Okay, so I'm just telling you, expect the storms and then get out of the boat. Peter takes this great step of faith here, right? Says, Lord, if this is really you, we've been watching, we've been listening, we said all these great things about you in the beginning, and we're still trying to figure out who, if this is you, I want to be with you on the water. That's a fantastic prayer. There's no point, you know, casting out demons and healing people, that accomplishes something, you know, very concrete. Walking on water, the only purpose is that I can know this is really Jesus, and then I'm with them. I'm walking with them. Like when Gideon, right? Gideon said, God, I've got to know it's really you. Would you make the ground dry and the fleece wet? Okay, God, one more time. Would you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? Right? I just want to know. I want to be with you. So Peter asked, call me to come out, come with you on the water. And Jesus meets him where he is. Now, you say, Matt, if I see Jesus walking on the water, I'll ask him, okay? Peter got to literally walk with Jesus. What do we get? We get Jesus ascended. What happened after he ascended? Who did he send to us? He sent his Holy Spirit. So that we get to walk with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, guiding us, comforting us, giving us understanding, much more understanding than Peter and the disciples had as they scratched their heads. Who is this guy? Holy Spirit gives us understanding. Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It says in Romans, have you guys been there? Have you gotten on your knees to pray and there are no words to express what's going on in your heart and you just groan? The Bible says the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings too deep for words, that he will be with us in the middle of those storms. And so we want to be like Peter and say, Lord, I just want to know that you're there. Holy Spirit, I want to know you are with me, guiding me, so that I can walk with you, even walking on water. Back in 2011, we were living in New Jersey, and we were considering returning to China. Or me and Melissa, boys, would be the first time going back to China. And we made a pro-con list. Reasons not to go, which included things like, well, we won't be able to have a pet, won't be able to go to Sonic. We just made a whole list. And the pro list was pretty short, you know. But then Matthew was 9 years old at the time. He said, he actually wrote on there, if God calls us, that's the pro. We will be with God. And there were kind of stormy times. So it was kind of like stepping out of the boat, stepping out of our comfort zone. We're just going to go. And we went, and we had a fantastic beginning. Really, really good. Matthew in particular was actually loving life there. The next year, okay, there's Matthew. He was making friends. He was talking with strangers. He was riding his bike, studying hard. And then about 4 months into it, over the span of 1 week, culture shock grabbed hold of him, and he got walloped with severe OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, he couldn't sleep at all. And he actually needed me, just really needed me to literally just read the Bible to them for hours at a time. And it was, we didn't know what to do. I remember getting on the plane in the middle of the night in Nanjing, flying way out to Chengdu to see three different doctors. One of them gave us this very cool technique for dealing with intrusive thoughts, dealing with OCD. And there were about, the next 6 months were really tough, you know, we definitely considered coming home. Slowly but surely worked through it. We look back on that storm now, when we just said, Lord, we don't understand, but we want to keep our eyes on you. We want to keep praying and trusting you, even in the midst of this storm. We look back and we can all honestly say that we are thankful. One of the doctors we met in Nanjing, Dr. Shirley, she was very helpful. And her husband, Andrew, was the CEO of Coca-Cola there. And he was preparing to start a new church. We got to be founding members of this beautiful church. And we loved it. We also got connected with Korean International School. Seventh grade, Matthew was president of his class. Melissa and I started working there. We had a wonderful time. So we look back at that storm and we say we are thankful. God carried us through. We got to walk with him. We thank God for bringing us through. Okay. Expect the storms. God brings the storms. Get out of the boat. Say, Lord, I just want to be with you where you are. I'm gonna trust you in the midst of all this storminess. I want to be with you. Holy Spirit, speak to me, right? And then keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, because Peter looked at the wind and the wave, said, what in the world am I doing walking on water? Jesus reached out his hand. Why did you doubt? Trust that he understands. He knows what's going on. Peter is going to continue to struggle, right? Peter's going to continue to take steps of faith. Here he gets to be with Jesus, literally holding his hand. Later on, Peter will go through other storms, continuing to trust God. But what the time's coming, he said, Lord, I'm ready to fight and die with you. And a few hours later, denies knowing Jesus at all. Then a couple months after that, he's preaching in the middle of Jerusalem, taking more and more steps of faith. In the midst of it all, we just want to keep our eyes on Jesus. Listen, it means relinquishing control, letting go of control. We like control. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to let go of control, saying, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're leading me and you love me. Remember when he fed the people just before this, looked at last week, he fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He told the disciples, you give them something to eat. He knew what he was planning to do. He knew he was going to feed the people, but he told the disciples, you do it. He wanted them to take this little step of faith and start passing out the bread and the fish. He will lead us the same way. Here, he tells the disciples, you go out in the water. They went out there for 9 hours before he showed up. He will do the same with us. We have to let go and say, I'm just going to keep my eyes on him and keep following him. So we can read his word the same way. That I come to his word and I say, Lord, speak to me. And that he will call me out. He'll say, you give them something to eat. He'll say, you come out on the water. And we listen to his word and follow. When he fed the people, He wanted them not just to have bread, but to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants us to have that hunger. He wants us to have that thirst, to really know him, to be with him. Oh, leading us through the trials. Jesus, Russell Moore puts it this way. Jesus does not just intend to feed. He intends that we would first hunger and thirst for righteousness. He did not simply intend to rescue Peter from drowning, but also that Peter would experience what it's like to go underwater, to cry out, and to feel his hand pulling him up. We want to open our Bibles, say, Lord, I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to follow you, even when I don't understand what you're doing. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust it. We've been reading the book of Proverbs this week. Do you remember that one? It's a favorite of several people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. In the midst of these stormy times, sometimes I don't know what to think. I get on my knees and I groan and I keep meditating on his word, following his word. He wants us to be committed to him. This past week in Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord. Whatever you do, he will establish your plans. I encourage you, if you haven't been reading Proverbs with us, we've got 11 days left. Just start. Start tomorrow on Proverbs chapter 21 and finish it with us. We're meditating on his word. So how do we keep our eyes on him? Listening to his word, asking him to speak. We continue gathering in fellowship with his people, letting his people counsel us according to his word. We continue serving together with his people. We continue talking about him. And he might lead us in a way we never would have gone on our own. We never would have planned to go to China and encounter the storm that we did, but we look back and we're thankful. Keep our eyes on him. Keep obeying him, and he will provide. He will lead us. Sometimes he'll lead us into green pastures, quiet waters. Sometimes he'll lead us right through the valley of the shadow of death. Wherever we go, we keep our eyes on him. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. He wants us steadfast. The storms might be awful. At some point, I'm going to take up my cross and head to my execution. But what greater fellowship is there than fellowship with Jesus heading to Calvary, to be with him there? Good to walk in on water. It's also good to walk with him, even as he goes to Calvary. Okay, his purpose is not that we be comfortable and happy and then die. His purpose is to mold us to be strong. He will lead us to take steps of faith, greater and greater steps of faith. Very simple message this morning. How is he calling you to take a greater and greater step of faith? To mold you into a peace-loving warrior, mold you into a strong disciple he can use to bless, to encourage others, to be light and salt in a dark world. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you make it clear, Lord, you want us to be strong. You want us to be able to go through the storms and not be shaken. You want us in the midst of a dark world to shine the light of your love and your glory. Lord, I pray my brothers and sisters here, you might be going through very difficult times right now. Or that they'd be able to put their eyes on you and know that you are with them. They are with you, that your Holy Spirit is there, even interceding, even praying for us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you and to help one another, to encourage one another, to stay steady, to stay strong. Lord, so that we can encourage others, so that we can help others, so that we can be vessels for your glory. Lord, continue to mold us, to make us, to transform us into the image of your Son. May we have fellowship with one another in that. May we have fellowship with you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified in our lives, Lord. And may we be with you every step of the way. Lord, pray if there's anyone here this morning who is not committed to you, not trusting you, that they would ask you to speak to them, Lord. That they would just ask you to reveal yourself in a more profound way to their hearts and call them to take that step of faith to trust you. Lord, may we proclaim your glory with great joy. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.